Good morning, everybody. Well, if you have a Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we do thank you. We ask that you be with us, speak to our hearts. Let us be open-minded and open-hearted, God, as we begin this year. Pray that you change us in Christ's name. Amen. So each year, this is the third year, we've started a thing called the State of the Church Address. And it's basically an update from things that have been going on, because a lot of times, you know, we come here on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, and that's what we see, the interaction. And so this is an opportunity to show you what's been taking place behind closed doors and outside of services. So maybe some of you know that I actually work more than just 3 hours a week after this. But anyway, the State of the Church Address is just basically an update, but also casting a spiritual vision for our next year. So I normally do an outline kind of a version, but I went ahead and just wrote it out, so if it seems a little different, that's why. This past year has brought many trials to many folks in our society, and all God's people said, it has revealed the undercurrent of our country in many ways, between the social issues to the political arena. They've been vast, have they not? That have been displayed across our TVs, radios, and social media. If we have seen nothing else, we have had to have seen our society's deep and abiding need for God's return as a centerpiece, the centerpiece in our lives as Americans, which turns us to our present talk. The church was put into place after the resurrection of our Lord to be a kingdom community filled with grace, focused on truth, lived in righteousness, and ready at a moment's notice to serve, to meet needs, the needs of those around us, to reveal the Savior's love and to love our neighbor as ourselves. I'm going to repeat that, because if you don't get anything else out of the talk, get this. The church was put into place after the resurrection of our Lord to be a kingdom community. Not a cowboy clique, not a denominational function, but a kingdom community. We are to be doing right here and right now what we will be doing forever in the new world. Filled with grace, focused on truth, lived in righteousness, and ready at a moment's notice for service to meet needs, the needs of those around us, to reveal the Savior's love and to love our neighbors as ourselves. The church should be the safest community ever to gather under the sun. For many, though, in our society, that is simply not the case. Too many churches have abandoned their holy call and great commission that the Lord left us before he ascended back from where he came to reign as sovereign. They have left their purpose and abandoned grace for the sake of growth and prosperity, both in number and popularity, but immaturity of spirit. And what do I mean by that? Many churches have abandoned the holy call that is given to us by Jesus, because we have taken on the American ideal that bigger is better, right? We have all these mega churches, but are they kingdom communities? We have all these things. And I was just thinking about this earlier. We'll do whatever, you know, to be an advertisement for the kingdom, when the greatest advertisement, Jesus said, is how you love one another. And because we really stink at loving our world. Because remember, we're in the world, but not of the world. But here's another statement we forget. But we are here for the world. We're here for the world. And because we stink so bad as Christians, collectively, right? In recent history and how we love one another, then we've got to do something to get our, you know, name back in good graces with the world. And therefore, we have sacrificed. That's our thinking, our false way of thinking. And therefore, we have sacrificed our kingdom values. We've sacrificed our Great Commission so that we can make sure that we find we are culturally relevant. But I don't see anywhere in the Bible that says we're to be culturally relevant. We are to be light and salt in a culture gone dark and without flavor. Does that make sense? That's what we're to be about. And there's many Christians, maybe some here today, I don't know. Many Christians, when you give a talk like this, they're like, you know, that just makes me feel uncomfortable, because you are comfortable with the wrong things, with an unbiblical Christianity. We must never become this type of church. The church here at Bull Creek Cowboy Church has a lot of growing left to do. But I must say, in good cheer, growing it is. Growing it is. We have turned many good corners that I can recollect in the last 3 years of getting to be a part of B3C. I've seen people desire to go deeper and know more about the Savior than they ever have in years past, this being their own personal confession, because I wasn't here the whole time. But I've heard many people come and say, I want to know more about Christ. I want to go deeper. I want to know Scripture. I've also seen people come face to face with their own struggles of commitment, getting out of their own way, learning how to surrender and the importance of it, and many being successful. And sadly for some, they continue to surrender to themselves versus letting go and letting God take the reins. I must say that even though we still have need for further growth, and even though our imperfections are many, I want the church to know I'm very proud of this body of believers. I'm grateful to call this church body mine as a member and my place of service as a pastor. We are a body still in the making, tender in our growth, infants in our knowledge. One of the things that I really want us to grow in is biblical knowledge. Because what I've seen, and this is kind of the cultural tempest of Christianity today in America, is people make decisions about what they think God would do based on what they would do, or their own idea of goodness. But the Bible says, my ways aren't your ways. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so far are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We have got to know this book if we ever hope to know God. No apologies for that. There's no way around it, right? We've got to know the book. We can't say, well, you know, God, he's done da-da-da-da-da. Well, where'd you get that? Well, I mean, that's a good thing. I think God would do that. Whose basis of good? We've got to know the book. That's a great place for everybody to shout amen. The problem with American Christianity is we have too many Christians who don't know the book. And they're making decisions for themselves and to represent the kingdom in ways that are not biblical. We are a body still here in the making, tender in our growth, infants in our knowledge, but still seeking to follow Christ. We continue to remain a body that is pliable, which is necessary for maturity. So let's recap a little bit of 2020. First, let's start with stability. Even with this pandemic, we seem to continue to have a stable and steady flow in our congregation. It's been amazing to see over the year. A stable and steady flow. We continue, again, even in a pandemic, to see many new faces and continue to have many new members. And people want to come and be a part of our church. Even though we didn't hold services for 6 weeks back in the spring, we have continued to have a stable and steady flow of folks during this very odd year and odd time. And for that, I am mucho grateful. We are seeing many who have watched the services online feel comfortable enough to come back in person. But they always watched online. And for that, we thank them and the media team for making our services available. So I'm going to ask everybody in the media team. Steve-O, stand up. Garrett, Dana, JW, Chuck, give them a round of applause. There you go. Dana brought her rattle. Let me just say, those were great ideas, but I'm glad I didn't have to go home with any kids with them. Right. How about that, Otto? He says, right. We're seeing many who have watched these services feel comfortable to come back. And many people have shared that they have been watching online, even though they quarantined. Many people had gotten the COVID and had to quarantine for a while. And they said, you know, it was so important to have the services online and make those available. Leadership. Leadership in our church has turned a new corner in regards to many new faces willing to step up and step out into service areas. I want to personally thank all who have accepted the challenge of leadership to further our ministries, for those that serve on our teams, and we have had many new faces come into their team leadership roles, and to provide in meeting needs that involve our church and the community. Our two major leadership groups are the elder body and the deacon body. I know for many, the deacon body is still a new thing, but it's a biblical thing, 1 Timothy 3. The two major leadership groups in any given church should be elders and deacons. And you say, well, I grew up in a church that had elders, didn't have deacons. They were doing it wrong. And I've heard many people say, well, I grew up in a church that had deacons that didn't have elders. They're doing it wrong. I mean, in a discussion, you don't even have to pray on that one because it's in the book, right?
There you go.
I ain't the sharpest knife in the drawer. And God even says, hey, Jackson, it's in the book. Let me mention the elders for a second. Our elders have made many decisions over the past year, and they are a pleasure to work with. Paul Fry, this guy right over here, our newest elder to serve this year, has really stepped up and is doing leadership well, even when his first year has been a pandemic. And for that, I'm grateful, brother. I would also like to thank Olin Gillian, who rolled off this year, for his service on the elder body in the last few years. The deacons, this past year was the first full year our church has had deacons. There are many things our deacon body seeks to accomplish in acts of service, and in many ways did accomplish, but dang, COVID gets in the way of a lot of things. So we're looking for more exciting things in the ways of service this next year. This group of men has grown tight and have gone out on a limb to share their own personal story with each other during our monthly meetings, which meets the second Sunday of every month. Because leadership needs to know each other. I have a lot of respect for these men and their willingness to serve. We did not nominate deacons this past year because around the time we would be going through our deacon nominations, the church had to shut down because of the virus. But this year we do plan to get back on track and have a spring deacon nomination to further our deacon body. It must be said that the future in our leadership at Bull Creek Cowboy Church is promising and exciting. And I can say that as a pastor because guess what? I'm going to be stuck with them. Right? Everybody gets to roll off except me. And I'm telling you, I'm excited for the deacon body and the elders that we have. And so I'm really excited. I say that with great elation. It must be noted that for now we have put the lay pastor position on hold as we grow our deacon body. And much of what the lay pastors did now will be done by our deacon body. Service. It seems our acts of services has increased even in a pandemic year. Our church was able to serve others in times of need from having food delivered to the church and through many donations. Just to recount a few, and this is not going to be all, so if I miss something, forgive me. But just in the holiday season, our church was able to reach 47 families with food for Thanksgiving. That's awesome. We were able to feed 3 families with Christmas meals and provide 54 kids with Christmas presents. We have established a food pantry which helps 10 to 15 families every month. And I would like to thank the many and all who have taken part in this, and particularly Fuzzy, for being our point person in many ways and seeing this gets done. There have been many other ways our church has been of service to the community. Just recently, we hosted the Miller Grove Livestock Show. It was a great turnout and got a great response, and thanks to all who were a part of this and helped out. And the Rita team did a wonderful job in leading out on this, so thank you guys. You know, this is a great example. We are to be light and salt, but a lot of times churches will only do events that affect what? Themselves. That goes against the whole point. We got to do events that bring the community. Even if they reject Jesus, even if they walk away and go, I don't believe in God, I'm an atheist. Okay, that's between them and the Lord. But we're doing our part to show and illustrate and demonstrate the love of Christ. Because you know what? It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about Christ and the world and being a conduit of that love and that grace. And if we can get, a school to come and do things and get different things, obviously we're not going to do anything, hold an event that's going to, go against our values or what we stand for. But if we can begin to bridge the conversation between the church and the world, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? So I was very tickled for this. We should continue to thank the media team for posting our services online and making our services available to not only those who are not in our area, because there are many people not in our area. Matter of fact, there's been a couple that has come to our church by the way of Joel and Melina Weaver, and she is now our events coordinator. And I've told you how I've met him. We were in passing in Oklahoma at a convenience store and built a friendship. And they have recently, in the last, 6-8 months, moved to our community and now are a vital part of our church. But you know how it began? And then being able to hear our services online. So it's impactful. We all know with COVID this year that many couldn't be here. So this has been a worthwhile ministry all to itself to keep those who couldn't be here in person a continued part of our church services. So thanks again, media. And these are just a noted few, but there are many other acts of service. Finances. I'm grateful to say that our giving this year has been absolutely tremendous. Tremendous. I can't brag on our church enough. I'm absolutely beyond words at seeing how our church has stepped up in so many ways, but the giving has been astonishing. The elder body and myself, I mean, each month, and as we get together and go over things, we're like, wow, wow, wow. To give you an example, our budget for the year of 2020 was $233,656, and our year-end giving was $266,000. If we include what was given to the team ministries, that moves our overall year-end giving to $278,637.97. That deserves a big round of applause. This is our biggest year to date, to the best of my knowledge and the records we've had. We exceeded our budget goal, and for that, we appreciate your giving and stewardship to the work of this church very much. When I first came to B3C, my first inclination, this is something I told the elders when we were in talks about, coming, is that I said, I'm not going to do anything for the first 6-10 months of the year because I want to see how the system works. Because a lot of times when people come into leadership roles, they come with their own ideas and agendas and they've never sought to see where, maybe the church is doing great already in that area, right? They just kind of come in and wham, bam, and all of a sudden now it causes unnecessary chaos. So I wanted to watch and see how we functioned at a church. I must be honest, how we function in the department of our finances scared me a lot. Scared me a lot. Many people don't like seeing church as a business, which it is way more than just a mere business. But a business it certainly is. It is God's business. Typically, people give more attention to their own private affairs than they do the church. And how they handle the church's money is quite differently than how they would handle their own. For instance, if you at home have a budget, you work on that budget. But many people in the church, they just go, well, the church has got money. It's just the church's money. It's crazy and irresponsible. But since the church is God's business, it is therefore worthy of great attention. In the middle of the second year, the elder body and myself began to press into this area pretty hard. I wanted to write my seminary and go, your first class needs to be accounting. And we began to completely uproot the financial philosophy that has been our church in years past. For instance, we put all our money at the same bank. Now, some of us may think, well, what? Yeah, when I got here, all our money was not at the same bank. We had some teams having their money in another bank, and then the rest of our money in another bank. And I was like, this don't make any sense. We began to put checks in. So what we did is got all our money and put it in the same bank. We began to put checks and balances in places that hadn't been there before, such as work orders when ordering things to make sure there was actual money in the budget. And as inconvenient as these new policies and procedures may be, they are simply common sense and have kept us in check. About this time last year, and this, I couldn't go into a lot of these things last year because we were right in the middle of these things. But about this time last year, we had to make some serious changes from personnel to programming. We did away with the old ACS system, which the church has used for years, which also cost the church a grand tune of $4,000 a year, to QuickBooks, which cost the church around $500 for 3 years. So that was major cost savings. Also, Barbara Say and Ivy Owen stepped up and assisted the church in handling the financial matters in the office in conjunction with our audit team. We also have a CPA to come in and audit us periodically. Our ability to oversee our finances are better than ever. And I can gladly say that the church is in better financial health than records have ever shown in years past. So that is a wonderful thing. In a pandemic year. In our last year's budget, we cut out what might be called trimming the fat, which was between $30,000 and $40,000. So that we are now intentional in every way in regarding how we spend the Lord's money. Because it's the Lord's money, not ours. And we want to be intentional in how we do it. We have taken on a new philosophy and leadership in all matters, not just financial. That goes something like this. Just because we have doesn't mean we should. Also about this time, we created two accounts at the same bank for the church's money so we could better see its operation. We have a working account, which is where we pay our bills and payroll, and that's the kind of the working account. And then the team's collective monies have an account. Now, it's all the churches, right? But it's a way that we can kind of keep a better eye on things. And finally, and I'm really excited to announce this, and finally this past year we refinanced the church, going from a 5%, and this was at its lowest, right? Over the years we've had higher percentages. But at its lowest it was a 5% variable rate to a 3.5% fixed rate. I personally don't like and would never advise anyone to have a variable rate. We did extend our payout by a year in this refinance, so that moved us from a four-year payoff to a five-year term. But we are saving the church thousands of dollars in interest, even with the extra year added on to a payoff with the new interest rate that's fixed. Our payment went down $500 a month, but we, as the elders, have decided to keep our payment to what we were used to paying in the old loan, which is around $2,500 a month, with the intent to pay off sooner and for further savings to our church. It must be said that if our giving stays around the same next year as it did this year, I would encourage the elders that we could logistically pay the church off in a couple of years rather than the full five-year term. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? We presently owe $99,698.57 on our mortgage. I would be thrilled for us to pay this off sooner rather than later and save the church even more. Now moving, so that was a lot in 2020. Now in 2021, as we move into this new year, we must approach it soberly. Because like Mark just said, we were thinking on the same plane, but I wouldn't want to insult you like that, brother. That just because we are now in 2021, the virus doesn't have a calendar. And just because we are out of 2020 doesn't mean we're out of the woods. We must remain diligent, steadfast, and aware. I'm absolutely thrilled to see some of the positive changes I've seen this past year. We have learned to be flexible in uncharted waters. You know, as a leader, and I don't care what you're leading, whether you're the President of the United States or you're leading the local Boy Scouts, is that any time you go in uncharted waters, leadership gets a little tense because you're in a constant balance of what's next, what to communicate, where to go, when. Timing is everything. Timing is everything. If you've ever been in leadership, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, then you get your chance to lead something, you'll know what I'm talking about, because timing is everything. And we've seen a lot of the political banter back and forth about just that. We have learned to be flexible in uncharted waters, and for that I praise the church. Not to say there wasn't some flexibility before, but it seems we have had a lot of understanding from the congregation as we've tried to navigate during this frontier. I've seen new people continue to show up to our services. I've seen new people step up and desire to take a role in the life of this church, whether in leadership or in some random act of service. We are stepping into wanting to know more of the Scripture and becoming not a church of just of evangelism, but of discipleship. And that's unique. I would say not just to Cowboy churches, but to all churches, is because many have just focused on evangelism. How do we get people saved? But But the Bible's clear. You can't get people saved without discipleship. Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission, he didn't say, go there and therefore make converts, did he? He says, go and make disciples. And the church, the big C church across the world, but particularly in America, has really dropped the ball because we folks, it's all, the point of Christianity is all about going to heaven when we die. And you know, that's just a small bit. And if that's confusing to you, we got lots to talk about this year. Because Christianity is way bigger than that. It's way bigger than that. It's knowing God here and now. It's experiencing eternal life here and now. This year in leadership, we will be adding more deacons to meet the needs of the church. I would like to keep a staff of 7 deacons at all times. Where did I get that number? Acts. That's where I got the number 7. Which we presently have 5, and out of this pool of 5, 1 will be selected for the next elder vacancy when James Hogue rolls off this year in a couple of months. So we're possibly to add 3 more deacons. The deacons are taking leadership roles in what I would call in-house positions of the church, such as our deacons heading up the loafing shed and maintenance in Larry Lemons, Terry Carpenter on the safety team, and Matt Reagan on the audit team. And another is in part heading up a major new ministry that's about to be launched in the next few weeks, Mark Byrd, called Fresh Start with an Open Heart. As the elders deal with the matters of the administration, it is very helpful and instrumental in having servant leadership in our deacon body in key areas of the church. I also want to thank all the team ministries for being flexible this past year with calendar events, etc., because we have had to make some quick changes due to unforeseen circumstances. Service. My prayer and my aim is to see us do more boots on the ground, getting out of our pew service events. I would love to see us do what we did over the holidays and meeting needs, not just over the holiday season, but throughout the year. Maybe such things like a soup kitchen. I don't know, but I'm certainly open to ideas. People often forget that we are working for the Lord, not vacationing for the Lord. There is sweat equity in the kingdom, amen? We are saved by grace, the Bible says, to do good works. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is God's gift. And then it says, what? For works. Ephesians 2, 10 is all about that we are saved by grace so that we can do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Are you vacationing for the Lord? Or are you working for the Lord? And people often say this, and I've heard this in ministry past and different ones, and I felt this myself. Well, haven't I done enough?
There you go.
No. I'm going to spend eternity never doing enough to repay the Lord, because I can't repay him, because it is his grace that he's given me. But I want to do things for him because I love him, because he first loved me. Amen. We are saved by grace to do good works. Again, I want to thank everyone who stepped up to serve in those inconvenient ways and inconvenient times to make the service wheel of this church go round. Because a lot of times there will be blatant needs in the church and people will say, well, I need to pray about it. No, you don't. If there's an opportunity to serve, right, and you know that service needs, then get involved, right? That's something you don't have to pray about. But oftentimes we hide behind prayer to keep ourselves comfortable. And that's pretty devilish, to say the least. Does that make sense? Finances. We are going to continue to be grateful for any gifts and donations that are made to further the kingdom of Christ in 2021 through the ministry of Bull Creek Cowboy Church. Our budget is finished and finalized, and we will have copies made to put out in the next week or so if anyone will like a copy. One thing we're finalizing is payroll taxes. But I think we're actually budgeted a little bit over. So anyway, we'll have those copies made available, and we'll stick them back like we always do. 2020, our budget was set for $233,656. We've only went up $3,258. Our budget for 2021 is $236,914.78. So we've just increased it by a little over $3,000. So not much increase in the big scheme of things. And also in compared to our giving. Again, just because we can, don't mean we should, right? Continuing to be a good steward of God's money is the goal, so that we never become a church that's about the money. I want to say that again. Continuing to be a good steward of God's money is the goal. I mean, we got to have it to function, right? I mean, that's the reality. But if we're a good steward, we never have to become a church that's about the money. We need it to survive, no doubt. But we also need service. I never want our church or any church that I'm personally a part of to make people feel pressured in their giving. I don't want that. That's why I don't talk a lot about it. Because I want any time that we give, whether in service or in finances, to be because we see God's hand at work and we want to go, man, I want to support that. Not because the pastor got up and did a yearly talk on giving and made everyone feel guilty to give. I want it to be because you go, man, now that's something. Finally, I can get behind that. I want to support that. And maybe the best way that you can support said church is through your giving. And also, maybe some of us, we can give and we can serve. I never want our church or any church that I'm a part of to make people feel pressured in giving, but rather they want to give because they see God's hand at work in this church. They want to give out of a cheerful heart, which is what Paul describes in his second letter to the Corinthians, when he says, remember this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of necessity, for God loves a what? A cheerful giver. And God is able to make every grace overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. Finally, as I begin to land the plane, we're going to focus ever more on discipleship this year. We will continue the task of discipleship, which is the mission of the church. So many churches, and I've said this before, want to write a mission statement for their church, but fail to remember it's already been written by our Lord. Then Jesus came near and said to them all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go there and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. I hope in this next year you see little small groups popping up, meeting the needs of different age demographics and ministering in different areas of the church. So maybe some of you feel led to lead a small group. Come talk to me. Because, you know, that's not just a spring or fall thing, but just small groups meeting the different needs of the church in different demographics, age demographics. One to mention that I know you will see is this new ministry we talked about in November that's going to be taking place at the end of the month called A Fresh Start with an Open Heart. This small group ministry is meant to help the hurting and be a safe place for people to grapple with life and the big questions that we all face. A safe place to be human that is sinful in constant need of a Savior's grace. Isn't that what church should be? I also hope we see others step up to lead other small groups in other areas, such as young adults. Right? We've got the team ministries, but we do need small groups to help young adults, because we've got two services to help them fellowship and know that, hey, there is a place where they belong. An adults class, men and women. And then, the golden years. We might get James Hogue to do that one. Maybe we'll call it the crammers. You'll get that about 4 o'clock this afternoon. To help people connect and do life with, these groups would come to study Scripture, but also go out and do fun things together to give everyone a solid place to belong in their life. It is important for us to be a church that fellowships together, because that is what families do. Amen? I mean, the number one thing that we can do together is study His Word. But that's not the only thing that we can do together. Hence why we have barn dances. And why we have get-togethers like we do. Because we are a people, a kingdom community doing life together. Do you think all we're going to be doing in heaven is sitting on a cloud singing Just As I Am? Newsflash. No. We're going to be singing to the Lord as we are working for the Lord in that grand new world. So let me conclude and say this. I just want to say how grateful Tristan and I are to get to be a part of this church and how much I am to get to be the pastor of Bull Creek. I look forward, Lord willing, to many more years of serving in this capacity. I'm grateful for everyone we've met in the short time that we've been here. Time flies when you're having fun, they say. I look forward to seeing what God plans to unveil in our future together, and above all, may He receive all the glory for the great things He's done and continues to do if we only let Him. I believe the state of the church is good and only getting better by His grace and through the obedience of His people. Amen. Let me close with a scripture that I read the other night with the New Year's Eve. And so much is in this is a prayer. We'll put it on the website, Dana. It says this: "This grace was given to me, the least of all the saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles the incalculable riches of the Messiah." The incalculable riches of the Messiah. I hope at the end of 2021, we know deeper the incalculable riches of the Messiah. "And to shed light for all about the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. This is so God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church." Through who? Does that involve us? You bet it does. "Be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens." We get to speak back. Because in the ancient world, Satan was the ruler of the sky. We get to tell old Satan what his forever looks like. "This is according to his eternal purpose accomplished in the Messiah, Jesus our Lord. In him we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. So then I ask you not to be discouraged over," Paul says, "my afflictions," but I'm going to say our afflictions in this pandemic, right? "On your behalf, for they are your glory. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power and with power in the inner man through his spirit." Does your inner man need revival? Does your inner person need to be recharged? Do you need to have a fresh experience with the Lord? May that be 2021. It says, "And that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith." That's how we get that revival. So many churches in my life, they would have 1 week and have a different pastor or a different song leader come in, and it was basically a week-long pep rally service. Yay Jesus. And then a couple of weeks later, everybody's back into their routine doing the same thing. If you want revival, you don't need you may want a new pastor, but you don't need a new pastor. You don't need a new song. You don't need a new band. All you need is a surrendered heart to God's Spirit. That's the only thing that's keeping you from revival. And it'd be good for us to remind each other of that throughout the year. "I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love. And to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." May 200 years from now, the Lord has tarried and not returned, maybe Bull Creek Cowboy Church will be blowing and going for the kingdom, kicking Satan in the teeth, making a dent in the population of hell, and may Jesus always be glorified. Amen. And my prayer is that when we come, and I know we're a laid-back group, and there is nothing wrong with that, But when we come on Sundays, that we come prepared to worship the risen Savior, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. May he be honored and glorified in what we do throughout our week. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this body of believers, and thank you for the grace that you've given. Thank you for just being a God that is so patient with us and so kind. Thank you for being a God who holds us accountable. Thank you for being a God who is willing to walk in our shoes, to take our sins upon you, to defeat our foes, death itself, and to give us hope beyond the grave. May we leave here singing and dancing and rejoicing because you are alive. And may we go about your work, even though in our time it may be years and years before you return, but it may just be the twinkling of an eye. May you be glorified in all things, in the efforts and the ministries of this church. Thank you for the men and women and the children that are here. May we collectively be one as we're united under you, in Christ's name. Amen.